You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, July the 9th, episode 3992. Good morning, everybody. Well, normally this would be a dark day for us, as we do not have a Thursday show for the second Thursday of the month. We have some new ones coming on board that we're very excited about, and you'll hear about those in the next month or two. In the meantime, as I promised yesterday, I'm going to play the brand new first episode of a show that I'm co-hosting, a non-horse show that I'm co-hosting with my friend Scott Johnson, who does the famous show What Was That Like? And we have a brand new show called Did I Hear That Right? And in this show, we ask people to answer the question, what's the one unusual thing that you've done that no one else you know has? And we hear their stories. It's a very short show. We're putting it out twice a month at this point. And the first episode is one of our listeners and one of our auditors here at Horses in the Morning. Her name is Emily. That's all I'm going to give you, because the first episode is called Emily's Bad Decisions. And let me tell you what, this is a show, an episode you're going to want to listen to. Interested in horses or not, you're going to want to take a listen to this episode, because how Emily survived the night, none of us is quite sure. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you subscribe. It is on all the podcast players. It's called Did I Hear That Right? And I'm just excited to do a show that's not about horses after almost 20 years of doing shows about horses. So it'll be fun for me to work with Scott. It's going to be light and entertaining. I will tell you that the second episode we have coming up on the 15th is a woman who inherited money from a long-lost relative she never met. Everybody's dream. We're going to hear how that went and what hiccups were along the way. So it's just going to be a variety of things. And hopefully you have a story that you can join us and be on the show as well. So I hope you enjoy this brand new show, Did I Hear That Right? We also have a Facebook page. Please join. Just search for Did I Hear That Right, and it'll pop up. Enjoy this, and we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Ashley is joining me, and we're going to have a person who has trained and ridden zebras before. Sammy Jo has been on the show before, and she's going to join us to talk about the zebra that just went through the auction. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. We'll see you then. Welcome to Did I Hear That Right? The show where we ask, what have you done that most people have never done? And we find out the story behind it.
I'm Scott Johnson.
And I am Glenn Hebert.
And coming up on today's show, we're going to hear from Emily, who at the age of 23 made some decisions that could have ended very badly. And I'll just say this, there are gangsters involved.
I can't wait. This is the kind of story that we want on this show.
Yes, exactly. This is the whole reason we've started this podcast.
That's right. Yeah. And I am so glad we did. I've known Scott for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, a long time.
Oh, at least,
time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're both veteran podcasters. I've been podcasting in the horse world for 18 years.
Okay.
It started in 2008 and have one of the longest running daily podcasts in the world called Horses in the Morning that I'm happy to host. Scott, believe it or not, we're hitting our 4,000th episode in July.
Unbelievable. Thinking about 4,000 episodes just gets me stressed out. How do you do that? How do you stay organized? And I mean, I do one a week, and it's all I can do.
Well, so. I met Scott, and I knew Scott when he started his very popular show. Tell us about that one.
Well, my show is called What Was That Like? And each episode is a conversation with someone who's been through something extremely unusual, like a plane crash, or they got bitten by a rattlesnake, or they escaped a mass shooting, or, you know, stuff like that. The guest just comes on the show and tells the story in detail of what happened.
And it's proven to be a very popular show. You do a very good job with it. Your storytelling and the way you guide the guests through their stories, which some are very hard to listen to and very traumatic.
They are. A lot of trauma involved. We do some happy ones sometimes. Had a woman come on who... Yeah, they're fun. But I had a woman who went on The Price is Right and won the showcase. And then she actually did that three different times. And you can only do it once every 10 years. That's the rule they have. So she came back two more times over a period of 30 years, won the showcase every single time. So,
And that, I liked hearing about that because you never hear about what happens after they win. You know, the details of what happens.
Yeah, we got all the behind the scenes, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, I am so glad we're doing this show. What makes this show a little bit different than the one Scott's doing now is most of the Scott's guests, things happened to them that they didn't necessarily want to happen to them. Our shows are people who made decisions and chose to do these things that not many of us have ever heard about and ever done. Mm-hmm. So how we found these first guests that are going to be in these first couple episodes is we actually asked our communities, our listeners, what have you done that most people have never done? And we probably have enough content here for 10 years worth of shows already, but we want to hear yours. At the end of this episode, we'll tell you how you can tell us your story, and maybe you can eventually get on the show as well. I think I am dying to hear what Emily got up to and what kind of trouble she got into.
This is going to be a good story.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us on this brand new show. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I'm very honored.
Well, you know, Scott, I got to tell you, Emily's been a longtime listener of my show over at Horses in the Morning, a long, long time listener, and also one of our supporters. So we appreciate that. But I thought we knew Emily because we've had her on our show before. But let me tell you, I didn't know any of these stories that I found out about Emily. So Emily, I have a question for you. When your friends hear this, if you tell them, would they say, did I hear that right? Or that sounds like Emily?
Would you say that's right?
Or a careless junkie. I'm not sure.
Yes. It's a lucky to not be chopped into little bits of meat. Lucky.
And that's where we go with today's story. So how old were you when this took place?
I was 23.
Okay. And what year? Do you remember approximately the years that this happened?
Yeah, it was 2006.
Okay. So we're in the mid-2000s and you're living and working as a nanny in Germany. Did I get that right?
Yeah. I was going to school and I was working as a bartender in a little town. And then I'd always wanted to move to Europe. It's funny, there's a part of Little Women, the book that talks about Joe always wanting to go to Europe. And that was definitely me when I was little. And I didn't really know what I was going to do finishing school. And I just decided to sell everything and get a job working in Germany and move over there.
So you're living as a nanny in Germany, and then your brother shows up and you decide it's time to go to Oktoberfest. Was that your first Oktoberfest?
It was. And actually I wasn't a very big beer drinker, which I know is kind of blasphemy to say moving to Germany, but I did like Jägermeister, but I was not a big beer drinker. But my brother was at the time was doing really well with his business and he went to BMW to pick out a car to be imported and said, you know, let's go to Oktoberfest. It's as good a time as ever to go. And so he brought one of his friends over, and I at the time lived north of Munich. So it was, I think, an 2-hour train ride or so. So I just took the train and met them at the hotel.
It seems like Oktoberfest in Germany is something that everyone should experience at some point, right?
Absolutely. It is so much fun. It is, I mean, unless you're me, it's totally benign. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a wholesome experience, but it is a very traditional thing and they mm-hmm. take it seriously in the respect that it was a tradition for a reason with harvest and the farming plays a big impact in it. And so it's a wonderful experience from a bunch of different angles, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
I assume there was some beer consumed that night.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can choose between all these different tents, and we chose the Löwenbräu tent, and it had probably 10,000 people in it, I think is what I remember hearing.
Single tent?
Yes.
Wow, okay, big tent.
Yeah.
Well, now, the good part of this story, though, Scott, comes after she left the tent. And right. I assume you had consumed a good bit. It's probably late at night or early the next morning, right? Mm-hmm. And you separated from your brother? Why?
Yeah, that's the part when I was writing the story, I thought, man, that doesn't sound very intelligent. But part of it was we went to a Greek bar. We had met some people from South Africa as we were walking out of the stadium grounds or the, you know, where the festival is held. And we all met at a Greek bar. And my brother was enamored with a woman from Norway that we had met. And I think he honestly couldn't be bothered by his little sister at that point. He wouldn't say that now, but I think at the time he was like, okay.
We've been to Norway, Emily. Everybody's enamored by the women of Norway. So I get it.
Yeah. So, and so the people that I met from South Africa were over at that bar and we, were talking, and their hostel wasn't that far away. And there was like a little, bar area nearby. And so we all, a group of us went over to, sit in front of their hostel and have a drink and talk. And, it sounds like a terrible idea to leave with multiple men alone, but it all ended up, they were very, very nice, and it was really fun to talk with them.
And then you decided at what, 3 or 4 in the morning at this point, after having drank a whole ton, to walk back to your hotel alone?
Yes.
I see a series of bad decisions here. Okay, this is when the story really starts. What happened? We don't know the rest of the story, so what happens?
Yeah, so I was walking down the road, and I was walking on the same, walking the same direction, but on the opposite side of the street is this old man who, at this point, I was very sober. So I should preface this with that this is the decisions I made after this point, I made sober, which might be a character flaw rather than a being inebriated excuse. So I walked across the street. I was walking down the street, and I looked over, and there was an older man, and he was so traditional. He was wearing a hat and really thick glasses and slacks and a button up shirt, dressed very nicely. And he was just walking, and we kind of smiled at each other and waved, and he motioned for me to come over to him, which in my, I think I quoted this as pea brain, I thought, oh, well, this, you know, older gentleman needs help, or he, I don't know. I didn't know. I just went over to the other side of the street. When we quickly realized that he knew no English, he spoke fluent Turkish. I knew no Turkish. And we both spoke, because at this time I had only been in Germany for 2 months. And so my German was still not very good. And so we were able to talk a little bit in very broken German. And so we just walked down the street together and tried to talk. And at the end of where he stopped, he said that it was his restaurant and that it was morning and would I like to come in? And I thought, okay, it looked like a respectable place. It looked like a pretty nice tavern type of restaurant. And so I thought, why not? I'm hungry.
Scott's shaking his head.
A girl's got to eat, you guys. A girl's got to eat. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
I have a daughter, and I'm just kind of picturing if she, I wouldn't want to know about it, you know, if something like this happened.
Yeah.
Emily won't be telling her mom either. So, all right. So what happened when you got inside?
So it was actually a very nice restaurant. We went inside, and then we went kind of filtered through the front area and through a main dining area. And this is where it gets so crazy that if I hadn't been sober at that point, I would have thought that I was thinking this up. But we go in through this other door and into a room, and there are a group of men sitting at a round table playing cards, wearing white tank top shirts underneath their unbuttoned, long sleeve shirts. And they have gun holsters on the kind that you see in like Die Hard movies.
This sounds like a scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I mean, it was so, and I think that when they saw me, they bristled so much. It was, you could see the mayday on their faces. Like, this is not, what is he doing bringing somebody in here? Because one thing I did know, even though I had only lived there for a short amount of time, is that Germany has really strict gun laws. And you don't just have guys wearing gun holsters. This is, you know, not normal. And they all got incredibly nervous and were very, you know, kind of looking at me like, what in the world is she doing here? And then the gentleman said some stuff to them in Turkish, and then it was okay. And he kind of snapped his fingers, and a couple of the guys got up and they started making food.
How nervous were you at that point, though?
I think, so I had a very sheltered childhood, which I am very appreciative of now. And I definitely is one of those young people that saw the best in everybody. And so I just thought, well, that's unique, you know, or.
She's the only one that sees the best in Turkish gangsters.
Yeah. And then a couple of the guys that were cooking, they were singing while they were cooking. I mean, they seem perfectly friendly. I think that I had two options, and it, one was to run out of the building, and I didn't do that right from the jump. And so then it was like, well, I'm here,
had done that, things could have gone very differently, right? Because they would have thought that, you know, something was wrong, right? So,
yeah.
And you don't look like the rest. Were you blonde as you are now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, so they made you breakfast?
They did. They made me breakfast, and we talked as best as we could. One of the guys that was there, actually the one that was wearing just the tank top and the holsters, ended up telling me about growing up in Turkey and just some other things that were very interesting. They talked about one of the meals that we were eating was a traditional breakfast food. And then there was like a toasted sesame cracker that was somebody's grandma's recipe. And they were fascinated that I was from California. But
it sounds like you're about to be a made guy here.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just so lucky that they didn't tell me, like, this package needs to be delivered at this
right.
address.
I was waiting for that.
I would have said, okay.
So did he just bring you in to be friendly? What happens here?
Well, so we got done eating, and I actually remember very, very intensely that I ate too much. Because it was so good. It was such a good meal. And I remember thinking, I need to get to my hotel because I am really full and now I'm really tired. And so when I finally was done and they, you know, were like, oh, no, you can eat more. I said, no, really, I'm done. That is when the older gentleman said, hey, I want to show you something. Ooh. And so I thought, okay. And so we went through these hallways of these corridors of this building. And that was probably the only time in the whole situation where I thought, I don't know. Maybe this is questionable. But he had been so kind the whole time. I mean, he had told me about his family. And yeah, I know. That's what my mom used to tell me when I'd go on a date alone. My mom would say, Jeffrey Dahmer was a charismatic man, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, Ted Bundy was very charming too.
Yes. Oh, maybe that's who she was referring to. All of them. Yes. And so we went through these corridors, and actually it was a very interesting building because all the buildings there are so old, and it was cool. You know, it was in the middle of the summer, but the hallways of the building were cool, and they were all brick. And I remember kind of being fascinated with it. And in hindsight, I think it kind of vaguely resembled like a crypt, which is really the irony there. And so he took me back to this huge room that had money and all kinds of different things back there. And he talked about the hardship that he had when he was younger and making it and becoming
like a
successful.
Little money? Wait a minute, like a little money, a lot of money?
No, like a lot of money. And then there was bins. There was wooden bins everywhere. Like there was stuff in it. But I was smart enough not to ask what the specific contraband in the bins was. Because when I saw that much money, and I'd never seen that much money ever in my life, I immediately thought of gun, you know, trafficking or something like that. And I didn't want to know because I just, well, I should go back. My dad is a judge.
You need plausible deniability
he
here.
Yes. So I knew, don't ask the dumb question. You want it. Your lizard brain is just beating against the side of your skull right now and wants to know what's in the bin. I mean, it could have been dead bodies for all I know. And so maybe it was smart that I didn't say that. But yeah, we just, he talked about what it was like growing up in poverty and coming from nothing, and that he has all this stuff and he's going to provide for his family. And we just stood there for a minute. And I had this feeling of, this is either one of those really pivotal moments of my life, having this conversation with somebody that did come from poverty and now is very wealthy, whether it's legal or not, or this is my time to say, I need to get home, or I need to get back. And that's what I did. So we talked about that. And I said, you know, I actually told one of his guys that came in, and who was the other thing that happened was the guys were like, why are you, I could tell from how they were speaking, they were asking why he was taking me through to this other room.
I think I would have been asking too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, no, it's fine. And they listened to him. I mean, he was definitely like the godfather level, you know, leader, because they didn't question any of the things that he was doing. And so we talked in the room and we just stood there in silence for a while. And it was a really cool experience. And I said, I needed to get home. And then one of the other guys came in and I told him, you know, I really should leave. And so he told the older gentleman that she's saying that she needs to get back to her brother who's with her. And he grabbed my hand and kissed the top of my hand and said that it was a pleasure making breakfast for me and having a conversation, and have a good life. And they walked me out through the corridors and I walked out the front door.
Were you, well, in retrospect, why do you think he did that?
I have no idea. I don't know if anything that I said made him reconsider maybe perhaps the nefarious reasons that he brought me in. I don't know if maybe I looked so bad that maybe he thought that I was like a street urchin that needed to be fed. I don't know. I think that he was just being kind, even if he was a drug runner who had mules, you know, delivering his guns other places. I have no idea.
Did you ever at any point look back and go, I shouldn't have done that?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Emily, actually.
I think that because I think that it could have gone so many different ways that were not the same as they were. But again, I think that my mom is a very optimistic person. And definitely sees the best in people. And I think that that was just how I was brought up. And so I've been so fortunate in my life that the goodness I've seen in people was true goodness and not something that was just masked, you know, and I got lucky. And I think about that a lot, actually.
Scott, you should do not play this for your daughter. Do not have her listen to this. She's going to think she can get away with the same thing.
Well, obviously it's possible, but I'm just thinking, these guys, you say you see the goodness in people. These are bad guys.
That's true. Yeah.
Or he made a lot of money at the restaurant, a lot of money, and they were just there to protect it.
Of course, yeah. Well, you know, I'm picturing that scene from Breaking Bad at the storage unit where they've got a pallet full of cash. You know, it's like 4 feet high, and they're just laying on this pile of cash. And nobody has that kind of cash and got it legitimately.
I agree. They weren't good guys, obviously, because you don't get wealthy in any real fashion, you know. Mm-hmm. In the modern world without doing shady things, but then they did show kindness to me. So,
and you know, the other thing is you could have gone to the police and reported it. but there's a good chance they're already paying the police. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it wouldn't have gone anywhere or may have backfired on you.
I don't think I would have done it either. I think I would have kept my mouth shut and stayed out of that one.
I didn't see anything. Yeah.
Because you really didn't see anything except a pile of money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then they had guns, which is a big deal in Germany. But at the same time, those can easily be, you know, refuted. Yeah. And also the story of I met him walking back from the hostel of three South African guys I had met that night. You know, so there was a lot of angles that the defense could have played.
Lack of credibility in this whole night, I think. And your brother's chasing some Norwegian girl. So, I mean, this just adds to the story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, was so distraught. My brother was so distraught that we had very early cell phones back then, but I finally caught a taxi and I didn't know where my hotel was. And so I told him, well, it's really close to like this dome. And he said, that dome covers the whole city. And I said, oh, I don't know where to go.
You are lucky to make it through your early adulthood, I think.
So, Emily, if your daughter did anything like this in her 20s when she gets there, you'd have a freaking heart attack.
Yes. I worry about my kids when they go to the mailbox to pick up the mail.
By the way, everybody, this is only one of Emily's stories. I kind of think we're going to be seeing her back because I know about a few more and I'm like, oh, every one of these qualifies for an episode.
Yeah, you could actually, the person that I jumped the train with, he would be a wonderful guest because he has had even more wild experiences.
And there's the tease for that next episode right there.
Yes.
Emily, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, and we're glad you're still alive, by the way, that too.
Thank you.
Okay, Scott, Emily's gone. Let's
talk about her.
Yeah. Oh my God. How many decisions? I was doing hash marks on how many bad decisions Emily made in one night. I got up to 8. And I think I only got to 8 because I just was floored there at the end and I stopped putting hash marks.
Yes, we're both sitting here with our jaws on the floor. Like, I mean, I know young people do crazy things, and yeah, that's just something you look back on. And for her, it ended up okay.
Yeah.
But man, that was.
I wonder at what point, maybe he never had bad intentions, but when she talked about him walking her to the money room, he couldn't have had anything good in his head at that point.
I wouldn't think so. You know, these guys. They have a whole different mindset, you know? And when I was that age, I've never even been in a fist fight.
I mean, don't either.
I was talking
my way out of them.
these guys could kill someone just on a whim, you know?
Oh, and it rather sounded like his boys wanted to. I mean, they were not happy about this whole situation.
Right, right. I always go back to, have you seen the TV series The Sopranos?
Yes.
And that's the mindset that I think of. These guys.
Because that scene was in The Sopranos and every other mob movie ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys sitting around a table. Yes. They're playing poker. And that actually was a scene in Goodfellas where the kid's serving the drinks and he says some kind of a smart remark and he gets shot in the foot. So right there. Oh, man.
Emily. And she's so delightful. That's the other thing about that story is she's so delightful to begin with.
I was thinking too, when you asked her, why do you think he was bringing you to the, I mean, she's an early 20s blonde woman. Everyone knows the answer to that question, yes, but it didn't go that way. So that's what makes it a nice happy ending story, I guess.
Well, and I've known her for years, and until I asked that question in our listener group, I didn't know that story. And she's been on our show before, too. So, well, that's the kind of story we want you to tell us. We want to hear these stories. We're going to keep them short. We're hoping that every one of them will be 20 minutes or so. That's the goal. And we're going to do one per episode. For right now, we're going to be doing it twice a month. And we're going to put them out on the 1st and 15th of every month. And we hope you subscribe. Obviously, you're hearing this somehow. So you can head over to Did I Hear That Right on any podcast player. You can also, if you have a story that you want to tell that you don't think too many people have done in the past, email us at didIHearThatRight@gmail.com. didIHearThatRight@gmail.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Also, be sure to join our private group on Facebook. Just search for Did I Hear That Right podcast, and you'll find us over there on Facebook where we can all get together and talk about Emily.
Yes. And this is so new. You might be like among the first 100 people to join the group too, right? In a founders group, you know?
Well, we hope to see you there, and we thank any of our listeners from our other shows that have joined us today. We hope you stick with us and subscribe to this show as well.
Glenn, I'll see you at Oktoberfest.